Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live in his rental car, and quite a rental car it is, driving back to Baltimore following Purdue's 70-56 loss at Maryland in College Park Tuesday night. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remaxability Plus. Obviously, a very difficult second half for Purdue. If you watch the game, you know that basically everything that could have gone wrong in the second half went wrong. Purdue shot 16.7% from the floor. Obviously, that's not ideal. Purdue just could not score. And the irony of it, if that's the appropriate use of the term irony, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, is that Purdue did a lot of what it needed to do to beat Maryland. Today, it held up its end of the bargain on the boards. It didn't turn the ball over, and it did everything it needed to do to win, except for the most important part of it, which was obviously to score. Purdue just could not make a shot in the second half. Purdue, atypically, uncharacteristically of what it's been lately during the eight-game winning streak, kind of lost its composure, lost its head, lost its poise, lost its ability, it seems like, to make sound decisions on offense. You know, Carson Edwards is prone to the over-aggressiveness trap at some point. We obviously know this in the course of his career. The aggressiveness that makes him great can also be his worst enemy at times. I think that might have been the case a little bit tonight. I think the crowd might have gotten to him a little bit. He's a competitive kid, and I think he was going at it with a couple of Maryland guys and kind of got caught up in the moment. And there was some hero ball going on in the second half for sure, but this was on no one player. It was everybody for Purdue who just either was taking tough shots, bad shots, overly difficult shots, or just not being able to make a shot. And the convergence thereof was just really difficult to sort of process in the moment, because Purdue has really come a long way with its chemistry. It's really come a long way with its team-oriented approach offensively. It's really come a long way in terms of its savvy, its understanding, its almost academic approach to executing half-court offense. All of those things went out the window in the second half against Maryland, after Maryland really ramped up its half-court pressure on Purdue's guards, and really it became a really physical game, and Maryland started having more success offensively, in part because Purdue wasn't having any success offensively itself. So everything kind of snowballed on Purdue. Really the worst-case scenario second half. What to make of it is really hard to kind of fathom in the moment. What to make of it is sort of what Purdue makes of it now. You know, Purdue's not been in this situation in the year 2019 except for one other time. Purdue's been playing really well. Its whole season has transformed. This is a sort of a foreign feeling after a Purdue game, having to rebound from a loss. The good thing about losses sometimes is perhaps it refocuses you. Perhaps it sharpens the knife a little bit. Perhaps it shines a light on some things that need to be shored up to make sure that the winning continues. But the other part of it is it only takes one to start a losing streak, too. And, you know, if Purdue's not careful, or if any team that loses a game isn't careful, losing can beget losing. And Purdue doesn't want that to happen now after the situation it's put itself in. And the reality of this is an acceptable loss. This is a really good Maryland team playing on its home floor. The last game Purdue's going to play this season where you go into it and think, hey, that's a game that, you know, Purdue probably should lose, or at least it's really understandable if Purdue loses. There's no shame in losing to Maryland ever, let alone this Maryland team now, because it's really good, it's really talented, and it played really well in the second half. That being said, as brutal as that second half was for Purdue, Purdue is still in a great spot here. This doesn't change that at all, especially with Michigan losing to Penn State. You know, this isn't going to affect Purdue's seed. What it could have done and what it is now that Purdue's lost the game are two different things, and they shouldn't distract from one another. The reality is Purdue's still right in the thick of the Big Ten race, obviously, with the most user-friendly path to a Big Ten title of any remaining contender. This was the most difficult game left on Purdue's schedule, at least on paper. It was the last top 25 team Purdue will play in the regular season. It was the last team that woke up this morning in the top six in the Big Ten that Purdue will play in the regular season. So Purdue has a path to a Big Ten title here. It just has to make sure that this loss doesn't linger. This loss doesn't become another loss. That this loss, that some good can come from it. It's so easy for us to talk about this sort of stuff in generalities after games, but it's up to the kids, it's up to the coaches, whoever else, to really make sure that this becomes a positive thing, if that's at all possible, after a second half of basketball that bad. It can go one of two ways now, as it can at any time over anything in college basketball, obviously played by what I call the most volatile commodity on the face of the earth, the 18 to 19-year-old male. So we will see what Purdue makes of this now, but that was a bad, bad second half for Purdue, but one that doesn't change Purdue's reality right now at all. So that's what I got. Couple miles away from Baltimore here, flying back out tomorrow morning. Hopefully I can get an upon further review done to see exactly a little bit closer what exactly went wrong for Purdue in the second half, so stay tuned for that. This has been your Golden Black Radio post-game podcast, brought to you by Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. We'll talk to you again next week after Purdue plays Penn State in Mackey Arena. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. And have a good rest of your night, early morning, whatever it may be when you listen to this. Take care.